Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Little Stones bringing us back. One of their classics. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks for hanging out with us, 17 Till. Having a great visit with our good friend Joel Barker, one of the great futurists of our time, the author of a number of books and films, also on things that you and I can need to pay attention to as we move forward into the future, including his new film is called Innovation at the Verge. Joel, tell us how we can find your books and you, please.
Well, I tell you, the videos, the best thing to do is go to starthrower.com.
Yeah.
And then they can preview it there. And by the way, the Innovation at the Verge has really had some wonderful effect on corporations. So I've been pleased to see that the idea transfers very,
yep,
very well.
Yep.
And they also have the books, but Amazon has the Paradigm book and
right,
the High Regions book.
So check that out, folks. I really encourage you to go read the Paradigm book. It'll probably change your life. Joel, thank you for bringing us this news about soil, about dirt, because these are the kinds of things that I think are the multifaceted part of the facets of the multifaceted way that we're going to learn how to deal with our waste, to deal with,
yep,
with the byproducts of living, which the big gorilla in the living room, the big 800-pound gorilla or elephant in the living room, I guess I should say, is carbon.
Yep. And what's interesting, it's carbon dioxide. By the way, the viper in the room is methane, which is a lot less of it, but way more greenhouse. So you actually have to dance with both of those things. But this is a carbon issue. And what's interesting is, by the way, this is why federal government needs to put money into research. You know, people sometimes say, oh, look at this silly research that the Fed's funded. Well, sometimes what starts as silly turns out to be very important.
Yeah.
And at Ohio State University, one of their soil scientists has now quantified something that he said, well, who cares? But it turns out to be very important, and that is how much carbon the soil can soak up. And his research suggests that if we used our soil properly, we could take out 13% of the carbon dioxide that is in the atmosphere today,
wow,
which is equivalent to scrubbing out every ounce of CO2 released into the atmosphere since 1980.
Wow. So, all right, now I'm, you know, as you know, Joel, I grew up on a farm, so I know a little bit about,
yep,
turning dirt. So
you're, yep,
he's saying that if we take the exact soil that we have, whether it's the beautiful black stuff of Indiana or the red clay of the South, that,
yep,
that just doing different cultivation practices will,
yep,
will help to do this.
It's called regenerative agriculture, and what it really is taking your carbon products, your materials, and you know, turning it back into the soil. But also, what's interesting in this, remember we've talked about biochar and terra,
right,
preta? I'm hot for this. Well, guess what? New Scientist, June 4th, said what we're now beginning to understand about biochar is it will really sequester carbon. So this is part of this whole thing about making the soil richer, making it grow better, reducing the amount of fertilizer you have to put into it, and,
right,
carbon capturing for not decades, centuries.
But how does the carbon get into the soil? I mean, do we push it there? Do we?
Really,
is it a natural process? What makes it go through there?
What happens is you turn the soil with the plant wastes on it and push it under the soil. In particular, the fungi in the soil and the soil microbes break it down and sequester it. In other words, it becomes part of the filament structure of the fungi. It becomes part of the bacterial ecosystem, so it keeps that carbon close to it, so that the loop of use is much tighter and stays inside the soil.
So this
is what the biochar does too. It creates an environment where you can capture that carbon and hold it for the benefit of the plant.
So this is like so it becomes a nutrient for the plant.
Yep.
So this is like another stage, another type of the another element or another facet of the. The process, photosynthesis is another element of the photosynthesis process.
Exactly. And what they're calling it is carbon sequestration now. That's what that, that's kind of the term that, that the researchers are using. We're going to sequester and to the advantage of the soil.
So what? How do we do this? I mean, what do we? What's going to be the you know, you say that this is coming from government research. How do we make the transfer?
Yep. Well, a lot of this stuff is, oh, you mean the information?
Yeah.
Well,
how do we transfer this is technology that needs to be transferred to the marketplace, to the farmers. Well, how do we do that?
My sense is that Ohio State is teaching it right now. As I read this article out of Discover Magazine of May, this last May, it looks like Ohio State is basically saying, here's how you do it. Here's the way you plant your fields. Here's how you reduce your tillage.
Right.
Increase the plant diversity as part of it. A lot of this stuff is things we've heard before, but now we're beginning to understand the consequences of it. Let me make one point, which is really kind of cool. Carbon-depleted soils tend to be dry, prone to erosion.
Huh.
Carbon-rich soils tend to be dark, crumbly, fertile, and moist.
Wow.
So you think about Africa and all that hard, almost cement-based soil.
Yeah.
It's because they don't have any carbon in it.
But there's got to be something that you do. There's got to be something you add. You've got to rotate your soil. You've got to
you've got to
alternate plantings or something. There's some kind of a mechanical thing that you do.
Well, here, as I'm going through the article, it's basically everything you said is doable. Plus, you need to understand that you don't want to create any situation where you're letting the carbon release.
Right.
So that's why I reduce tillage. You leave, you know, this is, remember how we used to plow everything and turn it over?
Yep.
Well, the research says when you do that, carbon releases to the atmosphere.
Low-till.
They've
been doing low-till agriculture for a long time.
Yeah, and that's good.
That is good stuff. Very interesting.
That kind of stuff. Yeah.
I like this kind of research, Joel. Thank you for bringing it to us. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about some other things with our good friend Joel Barker. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.